FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and it's the last day of May 31st, 2017. The month has just sailed right by, but the news keeps coming. And hey, we're seeing gold. You haven't looked at the gold price lately. Right now, it's trading about $1,268, well above its 200-week moving average. And silver down a few pennies at $1,735 the ounce. What does it all mean? Where is it heading? And what should you do about it, if anything? Should you buy Bitcoin? Well, Ned Schmidt is here with us right now. Ned, your publications, the Value View Gold Report and the Agri-Food Value View must reading. Welcome back.
Morning, Gary.
Hey, so gold. Should I just get rid of all my gold and buy Bitcoin?
No. What you need to do is buy your gold and turn off all the business TV shows and don't watch them anymore.
I did that a long time ago.
It's probably going to get ugly.
Yeah. But, you know, like the one thing you can say about Bitcoin is they can't make any more of it. There's no way to inflate it. So are they just going to, my theory is they're going to pump it up as high as it can go and then crash it, much like they probably did to gold back in 2011. Not that gold wasn't going up on its own, but they gave it a push to overvalue it, and then they gave it a slam to take it down, and the rest is history.
Well, I have a friend that when he looks at the stock market, he compares it to the annual sheep shearing of the sheep. They got to get all the sheep in the corral before they start shearing, and then they skin them all right down to the bare bones.
Yeah, sheep shearing. Well, that's a good analogy, and one that probably holds true. So what's going on with gold now? Where are you seeing it at this point in the cycle?
Well, gold, as we talked earlier, is we haven't seen gold this mispriced versus the stock market since 2007. Now, the ratio of the price of gold to the S&P 500, it is not a market timing device, but it is a time that tells you when you should have your asset allocation at a different level. I mean, at this point, the nonsense in the U.S. stock market versus the price of the dollar gold says you should own more gold. It doesn't tell you when it's going to go, but it tells you that's the relationship that should exist. And if you look at what the Federal Reserve is going to do here in the next 6 months, you got to say the stock market is at serious risk and that the alternative asset is gold. I think a lot of people have forgotten the most powerful tool an investor has is diversification. And if you don't have gold in your and silver in your portfolio now, you are putting your wealth at serious risk. You're saying, I live in Florida, I'm never going to buy hurricane insurance because I don't think my house will get hit by it. Well, it will. And that's where we're at now.
Yeah. And so insurance policy, is it also a means of building wealth at this point?
Well, of course, yes. Because if you look at what the Federal Reserve is going to do to the stock market, not intentionally, but they're going to, that the stock market is going to get hurt so bad that gold is going to ratchet up. And then you add to that the insurance value. I mean, as we were talking earlier, we have three aircraft battle groups in the Western Pacific, 30 ships or more. They're just not there to practice circling. And so the risk of an adverse event in the Korean Peninsula is as high as it's ever been. And so you've got to consider the insurance value, too. So it's a combination of those things together that makes gold so attractive now.
Yeah. And, you know, you just look at it, and in the Korean Peninsula there, I mean, is China going to do anything? Are they just stringing us along, or what's happening here?
I think that's what's slowing the thing down. Is China has to be fully prepared for whatever it is Xi and Trump agreed to.
And they agreed to something.
We don't know what they agreed to.
But they agreed to something, though, didn't they?
I'm sorry?
They definitely agreed to something, though, Ned, didn't they?
They definitely did. And the difference is in the Chinese leadership. Xi has become a lot more pragmatic, like that it's time for China to enter the 21st century.
Right.
If you look at what he's done in the military, I mean, he's shutting down three army corps around Beijing so they can't remove him.
Yeah.
Things like that.
That's an old trick from the emperors, right?
Yeah. Get rid of the bad generals real quick.
Yeah. Get rid of them.
Whatever they agreed to. And China has a unique problem that people don't really, they talk about it, but they don't think about it. They don't want 250,000 refugees coming across that northern border.
It could be more than that, too, right?
I don't know if they could, all of them can walk that far. They're so hungry.
Yeah, very, very true, Ned. You got a great point.
If you look at a picture of the army generals in North Korea, even they look malnourished.
Yeah, yeah. It's not funny, but it's funny. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's not funny, but it is funny. And the thing is that Seoul is so close to the border that things have to happen very quickly if anything does happen. You don't have 2 weeks
right
to make a decision. You've got 2 hours.
Correct.
Seoul is within 2 hour flight of most of the Air Force bases in North Korea.
Right.
Whatever it is. And you're not going to be able to buy gold if something happens.
You really
gold
think that?
Will react immediately.
Yeah.
And all our markets immediately. Mm-hmm. And if you think there's security for your money in Amazon and Apple the day something happens, you're going to be really surprised.
Yeah. So if war breaks out, your recommendation is not to buy Amazon or Apple, huh?
No. No.
Not a good idea?
No. What you people have to do is pull up a search for U.S. margin debt chart. And there's a one in there, one that'll come up on Yardeni. Yardeni's an old economist.
Right.
He's got the best margin debt chart that I've seen. And spend some time studying that chart, and it will scare you out of the U.S. stock market. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if I'm 4 months early, 6 months early. You know, once the market starts falling, as the Federal Reserve shrinks its balance sheet, you're not going to convince yourself to sell. Because you're going to say, well, this thing was 10% higher a week ago. It's going to go back.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry, folks. God doesn't care if your stocks lose money.
You sure
he is
about
not
that?
Watching your portfolio.
Why not? Somebody's got to watch it.
It's up to you to do it. God's figuring that that's your job. He's got other things to worry about.
So God is not the uber portfolio manager that we once thought he was, eh?
That's true. But the guy's got a lot of things to work on. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's a busy world out there.
It is. As the Federal Reserve starts pulling down its balance sheet, and they'll make a decision sometime. You know, they decided to make a decision. So sometime here this year, in the next 6 months, we'll find out what the Federal Reserve's going to do, how much they're going to draw down their balance sheet. And my estimate is they'll do something like $20 billion a month. And they're going to, what they're trying to do is the banks have $2.1 trillion in free reserves. And they're going to try and shrink that so that we don't have inflation. When they start shrinking it at $20 billion a month or so, that's also going to shrink margin debt. And this entire U.S. stock market has been built on borrowed money.
Right.
You think the housing market 10 years ago was built on debt. We got the biggest pile of debt ever in margin debt. So when the Federal Reserve starts doing that, you're going to see pressure on the stock market. And it's kind of like a faucet leak. It don't ever get better. It's just going to drip, drip, drip and drive you crazy.
Correct.
So it is at that point where people need to start paying attention to it.
Yeah. Yep. That's for sure. And Bitcoin's not going to save you, huh?
I'm going to get in trouble if I say anything about Bitcoins, Terry. I mean, I lived through baseball cards and Beanie Babies and all those kind of things.
So you think Bitcoin is like a Beanie Babies, huh?
It's so similar to Beanie Babies.
Oh, Ned, you're breaking my heart here.
But I keep my mouth shut on it, Gary, because I'm really not looking for an argument with a lot of people. I don't like those nasty emails you get where you say something about it.
Oh, we live for those, Ned. That means they're listening and they're paying attention. And that's the first key of persuasion is, you know, get their attention, right?
That's it. You know, the greater fool theory pops itself up on a regular basis. And iPhones and Bitcoins, I put in that category.
Look at how the iPhone has changed life as we know it. Nobody ever looks you in the eye anymore because their head's bent and they're looking at their smartphone. So it's really changed things a lot.
That's right. You know, and the concept that I would pay $1,000 for a phone, you know, that takes, because it takes pictures.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, it does a lot more. It's more powerful than the computers that they were using in the 60s that filled up rooms and buildings, you know. I mean, it does have some uses here, let's face it, right?
You know, and all I do on mine is talk. And well, I do access the internet, but, yeah. You know, I don't even want to tell you what version I'm using, Kerry. But I did trade up about a year and a half ago because my daughter wanted a new one.
Right.
So she got a new one and I got her old one. So I'm all the way up to an i5.
Oh, you're really keeping up with the times here, Ned. That's beautiful. So,
and I'm not sure what I'm missing. You know, I don't want to watch a movie on a screen size of my palm when I got a big TV.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, they're going to have artificial intelligence. I was just reading yesterday, in the palm of your hand. So you won't have to think anymore. I think.
My opinion of that's a good idea because most of the people holding the iPhone don't have a lot of intelligence.
Yeah, they don't think anyway.
They need some AI in their phone.
Yeah, you're so right. So true. Hey, so agriculture, the
agriculture,
ag complex is really kicking butt here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a bang up year. The ag commodities are in a new bull market. My index is up 20% from a year ago, 35% from the October lows. And every bull market is different.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is being led by animal proteins, eggs, butter, pork, hogs, beef, deer, cattle, chickens. The average animal protein price is up 64% from its lows in October. And that will start feeding through into grains because you got to feed a chicken every day and a hog every day.
Yeah.
And a cow every day. Well, a lot of this is better recognized. Kerry, there just isn't a lot of cheap stocks in this stock market. But two that investors should look at is ADM and BG. Now, these mm-hmm. things are not cheap because nothing's cheap. But they're four companies dominate the world movement of grain. ADM, BG, Cargill, and Louis Dreyfus. Only two of them are public. And what's going on now is that due to some problems with the Brazilian real that we don't want to go into, farmers in Brazil weren't selling their grains. Well, they are now. So now this grain is moving through the world a lot faster than we thought it would. So these two companies are the only two public companies in the most essential industry in the global food system. The global food system does not work without these four companies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them, BG, there was a rumor or talk, market talk, that they were in conversations with Glencore, which mm-hmm. is the big commodities trader.
It almost
and
went
so
bust,
far everybody,
right?
I'm sorry?
Did they almost go bust like 2 years ago?
Yeah, they had a real balance sheet problem. The guy that runs Glencore, he loves debt.
Yeah.
And he used it all he could. And they started to bring it down, but BG has never been, their management has never shown that they were good at managing a public company. So they probably should sell the company.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
People look at Glencore and say the same thing you did. Well, all the debt problems they've had over the years, they can't borrow the money. Well, Glencore has an agricultural subsidiary. That is the one that would buy BG if they decide to. That agricultural subsidiary is 51% owned by Glencore, 49% owned by two Canadian pension funds. So money is not a problem.
Gotcha.
To that, to Glencore, because they already have two Canadian pension funds as partners. That's where the money would come from. So that may happen. But these are two companies that, are essential to the system working. And the other thing you might want to buy is buy some steaks and put them in your freezer.
We always have steaks in our freezer, Ned. Always. I mean, we don't.
I always figured you did.
Yeah, I like, I'm partial to a bone-in New York strip. And the price of this stuff, especially if you get it with without hormones and all that good stuff, Ned, it's like, just keeps going up and up in price. And I'm really happy there's no inflation, because if we had inflation, boy, we'd really be in trouble. You know, then you couldn't afford the stuff.
Well, it's going to get more expensive, because one of the reasons is India. You got to remember, 80% of India does not eat beef.
Right.
India is the number one export country for beef. They export almost 20% of the export market in beef comes from India. Now, it's not cows like we think about. It's water buffaloes. Because water buffaloes had not been considered as sacred animals. Well, the current government of India is going to make trade in water buffaloes impossible. So there's a good chance under the new rules that the entire Indian beef industry will shut down. And the world will lose about 20% of the exports that it gets from there.
They're really going to do this?
Yeah, they've already done it.
Yeah.
What they did was they have essentially made it impossible to trade cattle. In other words, cattle industry works in countries like that. Jim is a cattle collector. He goes out to the farmers and buys cattle, water buffalo from the farmers, and then he sells them to the slaughterhouse. They have made the trading of cattle impossible under the new regulation.
Wow.
So in essence, the industry is in the process of shutting down right now. And so beef worldwide is going to become more expensive.
So that term sacred cow actually comes from India, because they're not supposed to kill cows, right?
That's cow. And the people who run the slaughterhouses are all Muslim.
Yeah.
And they buy water buffalo, which are not sacred, but they are impacted under the new regulation. The Indian government is catering to, the Indian government is run by the Hindu party, right, and they want to bolster their base. So they're making the rules tougher.
So we're not the only ones with the insane political systems, which always makes me feel good.
We just have a doozy in one right now.
Yeah, I mean, talk about dysfunctionality here, right, Ned? I mean, could it be any more dysfunctional than it is now?
I don't honestly think so.
It's madness. I mean, it reminds me of Planet of the Apes, when Charlton Heston is getting hosed down by the apes. You know, they're giving him a little hydrotherapy with a fire hose. And he goes,
yeah,
it's a madhouse. It's a madhouse. You know, that's what we've devolved into here. It's a madhouse.
Could the U.S. Congress be any more dysfunctional?
No. No, and you see, they're totally not in it for us.
They do the best work when they're on vacation.
Yeah, well, you know, the old saying, Ned, that no man's life, liberty, or property is safe when the legislature's in session, right?
That's true. Actually, it is safe now, because they can't agree on anything.
Yeah, it's safer than it's ever been. Oh, man. Yeah, well, I think there's so many black swans here. And you look at Korea. Korea could really blow this whole thing up. I mean, something is going to give here, Ned, right? Something is going to give.
It's going to give. I mean, either intentionally or accidentally.
Yeah.
And that's the part that you can't forget, is the accidentally.
Yeah.
Well, it only takes one lucky shot to make a mess.
Boy, is that ever true. And there's really, like, nothing anyone can do about it, right?
No.
So, no. Well, fun-filled times ahead, that's for sure, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, well, somehow we'll get through it. But you were saying that since you've been around, they've been talking about the end of the world since you can remember. And hey, maybe they'll be right this time.
At my age, I'm indifferent.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
crazy.
When I was young, I worried about
it. Yeah, well, after a while, you just stop worrying about it, because what can you do, right? Nothing.
Nothing.
So what's the point of it all? But anyway, Ned, hey, let's give out your publications again. One is the Value View Gold Report. The other is the Agri-Food Value View. I'm sure you're going to have lots of questions for Ned and myself, so send us an email at kl@carrylutz.com. The Twitter feed, which, no, Twitter is not a currency, believe it or not a means of protecting your wealth, is at Kerry Lutz. And the Facebook page, which is much closer to being a currency, that's Financial Survival Network. Ned, we will catch up with you again shortly, and let's keep our fingers crossed that nobody does anything too stupid.
Good luck, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.